was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens, and they're living in your town.
Damn.
They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
So many aliens living
in your town. Are you scared of aliens?
Well,
yeah, don't worry
be.
About it. Hello, weirdos. How's everybody doing? Of course, a clunky start, but that's just our brand.
Doing well.
Yes.
All doing right. Well, I want to jump right into it because we only have an hour to do this thing, and I just want to jam pack it in like a grilled cheese sandwich, Vicky.
Okay.
A lot of people commenting on the segment we did yesterday about the dream I've been having. Now, Vicky, you have told me for a while now that my mom and my Aunt Anne has been trying to get a hold of me with some kind of a message. And last week during my vacation time, I had four dreams about my mother, which I never really ever dream about. They were vivid. I remembered them all. And they were all the same exact dream with some different variations, you know, slight variations, but all pretty much the same theme. Now, for those who missed it on the KVJ show, I'll try to be as quick as possible because I know people don't like when I repeat shit. Basically, the dream is my mom's alive again, and we're back at my old house in Lake Park. And I am my age now. The entire time, people are coming over, and my mom's trying to tell me something, but I have to hide her because I don't want the public to know she's alive, because if she's alive, I've been lying the whole time that she's been dead. And every time she's about to tell me something, there's a knock on the door, somebody interrupts it, and we have to hide my mom. Now, you, Vicky, the reason why I'm leading off with this, you put something out on Facebook answering, or YouTube, kind of putting your own two cents in. I would like to get your comments on that.
Well, I think one of the things I said is that you're the kind of person that whatever the message is, you need to hear it from the horse's mouth. In other words, I think that they need to communicate directly with you, in which case this is dream form. So you need to hear what they have to say. In the dream, you keep being diverted for the fact that you have to hide her. And that is distracting you from getting the message. I think in general, I didn't write all of this on my comment section, but in general, I think there are a lot of aspects of your life where you aren't allowed to be 100% yourself. And I think that that's addressed in the dream. And I do think it's important for you to hear what they have to say, because I think that will be the subject that they will touch upon.
So you said something ambiguous a few weeks ago, which led to a lot of personal, a lot of emails to my personal account. People thought you were talking shit about Kevin and Virginia and me not wanting to be on the KVJ show, or that I'm not happy on the KVJ show, or that I'm not, I just signed a 3-year contract, so I'm pretty happy. I like where I'm at. So I just wanted to clear that up. I did have a lot of comments of people saying, what did Vicky mean? Is she throwing shade at Kevin and Virginia? Is she throwing shade at the situation? If you don't mind, please elaborate.
No, I just know that there are things that you want to do independent of KVJ. There are things and goals that you have that are independent of that show. But by the same means, you are tied contractually so that limits what and some of the things you can do on your own. It has absolutely nothing to do with Kevin and Virginia. Definitely not has to do with them, because ultimately we know that there's bigger bosses anyway that are tied to the contracts.
Yeah, and they love you. You love them. You're not throwing any shade at all with that. So, but you know how people are. They like to get the drama.
Yeah, they stir the pot.
But I do have to. Speaking of stirring the pot, I do have to make a comment about the segment on the show where Virginia is specifically saying to you, Jason, sit down with Vicky, have a conversation, just you, basically no cameras, none of that stuff. And you are completely squirrel. You completely ignore what she says. You completely change the subject. You don't focus on what she's saying. And that is part of the reason why I think the message that you are to receive, you need to hear it directly from the source, not through someone else.
just so you know, I deliberately ignore a lot of shit Virginia says. So don't look too deep into that one. I do that often. All right. So I wanted to clear that up. I wanted to talk about that. I also do want to talk to the people about dreams and if they've ever received a message. We did touch upon this on the KVJ show, but in the comment section below, has anyone really ever had a message given to you in a dream? I know we don't have a lot of big dreamers here. I know, Danny, you're not a big dream kind of guy.
Nah, I think it's more so your brain kind of does its repairs at night, repairs your body and such. I think it also psychologically repairs things. I think that's why people who have a lot on their minds can't sleep because they're immediately trying to jump to a dream state to tackle the problems or whatever. So I think it causes the anxieties and such. But I think a lot of it's psychologically related, not so necessarily, I don't know, premonitions, metaphysical, any of that such.
How is everybody sleeping right now? Because I know it's a different schedule with the quarantine and the corona and whatever this is. Vicky, how's your sleep been?
When I sleep has completely changed. I used to be in bed by 9 o'clock because I got up at 5. Now I go to bed at 1 a.m., get up at 9. So the time that I sleep is different, but my quality of sleep is pretty much the same.
Birdie?
It's a mess. I will literally go to bed at like 7 or 8 a.m. I will watch some of your show and then go to sleep and wake up in the afternoon. And that's been messing with me because even though like I have things to do in the afternoon, so I'm not getting as much sleep because I'm going to bed so late. But I can't sleep. So, that's the reason, though.
So when I can't sleep, because I suffer from that same kind of like mania when I'll go through bouts of I may be tired, but I will stay up for a day or two, and that's rough. Is there something on your mind that you're struggling with right now?
I think it's just with being stuck at home, and I have a million thoughts going through my mind. So during the day, usually if I was teaching or, you know, I was going working out more, like that helps exhaust me where I can just turn off my brain at night. But now that I'm more stagnant, like I just have, it's everything and anything I'm thinking about. And the night just gives me more anxiety than during the day. So I almost find like I wait for the sun to come up because that makes me feel a bit more comforted and then I fall asleep. But yeah, I'm a mess.
Hey, look, we're all a mess, Bergney. Don't sweat that. We're all a mess. I go through those same kind of bouts. So Beckett, how about you?
I think I sleep pretty good. When I'm not drinking any booze and I'm like on a detox and I'm real clean, I find that I definitely dream more vividly. And I feel like to Denny's point, if I have something on my mind, like whether it's stressful or happy, that like, especially if I want to dream about it before I go to sleep, it's almost whatever I'm thinking about or whatever's on my mind when I fall asleep tends to be what I dream about. If I have a few beers or a couple margaritas, I don't really tend to vividly dream. But I think for the most part,
I'm with you. If I had alcohol in my system, I sleep like such shit. I do think it's important, though, to ask the people around you simple questions like that. Hey, how's your sleep? It's something we never really talk about.
Yeah, it's so important.
It's important, yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe talking about it, kind of like what you just did, Bergney, maybe there's something by talking about it, you can possibly slay the beast and get a little rest in you.
Yeah. Speaking of dreams, though, have you guys ever had a dream that came true?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I have that happen.
So is that a premonition?
I don't know. What is it, Vicky? Well,
what's your example?
So, I mean, it's been little things. Like, I've kind of, like, predicted some things. Like, I predicted, like, my sister would be in certain, like would have a certain teacher and she would get that teacher, or I would predict that something bad happened in a month, like, and something would happen bad personally to me in a month. And I've asked myself, is that like a self-fulfilling prophecy? I mean, I had a dream one night that my dad got into a really bad car accident. I dreamed that he had been in a bad car accident, like something was off. Like there was a dream, I had a bad dream of him. And then the next morning I woke up and my mom had said that my dad had been in a bad car accident when I was younger. And so it's weird stuff like that where sometimes I get all anxious if I have a dream of something, cause I'm like, oh no, please don't be true.
Vicky, premonition or mere coincidence?
I would say that a lot of times we do have prophetic dreams. If it tends to run in the family, they run in my family. I have been fortunate to avoid them until the quarantine. And since the quarantine, I've been having prophetic dreams that usually come true either the next day or the day after. So far, it's not been anything major, but I am concerned because my daughter actually dreamed about what happened at Stoneman Douglas 2 days before it happened. She just did not know the location, but some of the details were very similar to what happened at Stoneman Douglas. So it's very scary when you have these, especially if you don't know if it's going to come true or not.
Well, I appreciate the feedback, everybody. I think we're going to move on from the dream stuff because we've covered a lot of dream stuff on KBJ this week as well. But let us know if you've ever had a message. I'd love to hear about that. I'm sure we all would. The Scary Movie Club. I am liking the way this is going, by the way. The Scary Movie Club, or AKA the Murder Club, as my boss thought it was called. Yeah, there was a rumor that I started a murder club. I'm in a meeting. And she's like, so how's the murder club going? I'm like, what?
So yeah, it's going all right.
Last week, we did Poltergeist. The first week, we did, Mickey's Poltergeist?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah.
And then we did Trick or Treat the second week. That was the movie that I recommended.
And I don't even want to bring up that first week.
Trick or Treat put me in a
You know what?
Bad place.
You know what? You won't guess what's going on underneath my camera view. Okay. Let's just say you're number one, Jay Bird. You're number one.
Yeah, Trick or Treat put me in a bad place. That was a weird movie.
Becky, don't be a little bitch. Don't be a little bitch, Becky.
It was so deranged. There were so many bad people. I'm used to being able to focus on one bad person.
Can Beckett pick this week, please? Because I have a prediction as to what he's going to pick.
Oh, I think we all got a prediction.
I'll blow your mind.
All right.
Okay.
Let me set the stage
here. It has to be something you've actually seen, though, Beckett.
Okay, it is.
Beckett, you have the floor. Last week we did Poltergeist. By the way, I think the movie still holds up. I think it's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Yep.
We all liked it. Beckett, you watched it?
Yeah, I've seen it before, though. I had not seen Trick or Treat before.
Okay. All right. We all give it a thumbs up, Poltergeist. Now, Beckett, you get to pick.
Okay. So there's a movie that is very disturbing. My buddy made me watch it. He loves it. I thought it was the craziest movie ever. It's supposedly based on a true story. We'll probably have to fact check that, but I read on an article that it was based on a true story. Have you ever seen or heard the movie Tusk?
Yeah. Oh, that's Jen's favorite.
Yeah, it's her favorite movie.
Yeah.
And his wife loves it.
She does. Bird,
have you seen Tusk?
Yeah, I have. Is that a scary movie?
I think it's extremely scary and deranged.
It's very creepy.
It's very creepy.
It's about podcasters, you know? It's kind of weird.
It is about podcasters.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Chat room, did you think Beckett's choice is weak or do you think it's awesome? Let us know in the comment section below right now. Birdney, please give us a tally of how many people say it's weak versus how many think it's a great idea.
I'm looking. Facebook Live. Let me know.
Yeah. We'll take a tally in a little bit. All right, Beckett.
That movie's awesome.
I'm going to have to come up with a backup plan just in case the people don't like it.
No. It's whether it's considered a horror movie or not.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Who knows? You can do a poll, sure.
It's like both. It's like comedy and it was kind of like Trick or Treat where it was kind of categorized as a horror/comedy.
Maybe I'm getting that mixed up. Is that the Mel Gibson one?
No.
It's a Kevin Smith movie. What's the Mel Gibson one?
Just so you know, it is listed when you look it up. It says horror/comedy. So it fits with the criteria. So I will put them on that. It's right here. I just fact-checked it.
Chat room, give them a break. I'm the wrong one. In fact, chat room, turn on me because I'm the one that got that wrong. I got that confused with the Mel Gibson one with the hand, the beaver.
Yeah, that's like a dark comedy.
Is that an adult movie?
Okay.
Satire. The beaver.
I'm sure there is an adult movie called The Beaver, Beckett.
That was on a website, Jason, not a movie. Just saying.
It was really depressing, though.
Wait, I'm going to be really excited, Jay Bird, if you haven't seen this movie. You haven't seen it?
Okay, so I don't think I have seen it. I'm excited, Beckett.
I like it.
And my apologies.
You know the actor Justin Long?
Yes.
So he's in it. He's in it.
He's the main dude.
He's the main dude, yeah.
Okay, I think I have seen it then. Yeah, all right, cool. I can't remember it, so we'll do it again, baby. I love it. All right, Beckett, you got the floor this time. So if you hate this movie, you got to get on Beckett.
Yeah,
I'm set. I think you guys are vouching for it.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's good.
Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool. All right, well, with that said, with this positive energy going, I think it might be time for some...
Denny's Random Facts.
Better. I feel like you guys are intentionally doing that.
Better, guys. All right, so as you know, if you've heard this segment before, Denny's gives us a list of factoids. Vicky, our educator, she grades him on each factoid. If it's great, he gets an A. If it's bad, he gets an F. Denny's, the floor is yours.
So I didn't know this was possible, but apparently a woman gave birth to her own grandchild. 61-year-old Cecile served as the gestational surrogate for her son and his husband, carrying to term a baby created from her son's sperm and her son's sister-in-law's egg. She said she never hesitated for a second because she had unconditional love for the family. How weird is that?
So, yeah, I heard that story. It's an interesting concept, like, because part of the DNA would be part of the mom because of the mitochondria. So it's a little weird.
The zygotes. I think that's another one.
Zygote.
Yeah, you say zygote. I say zygote. Zygote.
Yeah, weird though, right? Be your own.
It's weird. Vicky looks disgusted and just bored.
Just bored. Let's go. Like to set the bar low. You can only go up from here. That's a D.
Oh, damn.
D for disappointing. Usually, Denny's, you at least give me something that gives me 2 seconds to think about and go, oh, nah, try again.
Wow. Vicky's out the
I thought that one was... I thought that was weird just because it was the son's sperm. So
that is
I watched too much TLC. That one didn't.
That's true. You're right. Let's see here. USA Today put out a study. How many trees are in the world? Turns out there are 3 trillion trees. Just to put that into a scale, that's more trees than stars in the entire Milky Way galaxy and more trees than cells in the human brain. That's how many trees are on the planet, according to a study USA Today.
Vicky, what do you think?
I would have liked it a little better if he had the numbers, how that compares to human beings, as opposed to trees. He had some other things to compare it to, but how's that compared to the population of the world?
Yeah, actually, go on.
Oh no, go, it's your facts, go on.
So I was gonna say, actually, funny enough, Bird and I just looked up like the world population not too long ago and where the biggest population is.
This is what we do in our spare time.
Obscure facts. So there's 7.5 billion people, and there's 3 trillion trees. So there's a lot more.
I like fact. It's very earth friendly. It still didn't blow me out of the water. I'll give it a B.
We were on vacation. I came back with some light ones for you guys here. Let's see if we can get this a little bit heavier for you.
Yeah, Denny's, make us think.
So, you know how the classic question, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, scientists did some research and they determined that actually they believed that the drumroll egg came first. In fact, they actually hypothesized that that is an outdated analogy to use because technically, a chicken would have been born from a single-celled organism evolving. But regardless of that, initially you would start off as a bud before you would start off as an adult. Weird.
I mean, I don't know, Vicky. It's like we're back at seventh grade or something.
What are you talking about?
You know, I mean, he's...
Seventh grade science, Vicky.
That's a C.
I thought it was very seventh grade science too, Vicky.
Is that C for chicken?
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Comedy, you get an egg, kid.
Here's just like a fun hack everybody can do, and it's pretty easy. They determined that wearing sunglasses improves your mood overall. Psychologically, squinting is associated with your brain as a negative mood, thus causing you slowly to become in a negative mood. Wearing sunglasses prevents you from squinting, and it prevents you from involuntarily frowning. Weird.
So I personally kind of do feel happier in sunglasses. It's almost like I'm playing along with some kind of crazy game that the earth is throwing at me. Birdney, those glasses look awesome on you.
I know. Thank I wish you. I had mine.
Yeah, she gets an A for having a prop for this one. And Denise, that's still, I don't know, that's like a B plus.
And I think you're kind of being nice about that plus. You don't want to give it to him, Vicky.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
I got you, though.
I read a study a while back ago. I don't remember exactly what it said, but you've probably heard the old saying, you know, it's viewing the world through rose-colored glasses. And actually the color of the hue that the lenses are can actually affect your mood as well. And so that magenta color, like if you wear like pink glasses like Elton John used to wear, that actually supposedly has effect on your mood positively, and some other lenses would have a negative, more negative effect, which I found really.
Just think about the colors of a room. If you
the psychology behind it.
Oh, dude, first of all, I know I've said this a bunch, but what the shit are you doing, hospitals? There are so many just blasé, sad-looking hospitals with awful colors there that really bring down the mood. Let's bring up that mood. Let's paint some pizzas or some shit up there. Let's get some rainbows or some stars. But yeah, there are certain colors that you have in your house that may give you a headache. You wonder why you can't concentrate, and that color and you just don't jive together.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pizza, there was psychology that said certain colors make you more hungry. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of fast food companies are the oranges and the reds and those colors, because apparently those have the effect. So that's why a lot of pizza companies, I would assume, do it too.
Oh, is there a fact off?
Get him, Beckett. You ain't having that great of a round, according to Vicky.
I'm just augmenting. he gets it started, and I just
we get the ball. It's a duo. We get the ball rolling.
So the red and yellow I get, or the red and orange. You got red for sauce, orange, yellowish for the cheese. Damn, I'm only talking about it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, there's a bunch of colors that play psychologically. Every advertisement you look at is designed for a reason.
I'm going to throw a color at you, Denny's, and you tell me what kind of emotion it makes you feel.
All right.
Purple.
Makes me feel majestic.
Yellow.
It makes me feel hungry.
Silver.
Ooh, makes me feel shiny.
Green.
Well, we know what that one makes me think of.
Horny. Oh, weed.
I get it. So if you're green with horny, like green with envy, right?
I always thought green, I was always taught if you ate the green M&M, that meant you were horny. It makes you horny.
Got it. Everything in your room I'm looking at right now is green.
Yeah. Oh my.
In my room?
Yeah, behind
There's
you.
There's a lot of green in your room.
Maybe I'm horny.
Yeah, that's funny.
You guys ever heard that? You eat green M&Ms and it makes you horny? No one's ever heard of that?
I've heard you say that.
Yeah, you made it up.
I am not that, Vicky. I did not make that. Chat room, have my back on this one. You never heard this. All right.
I thought green makes you sick. Like your face gets green when you're sick. I thought that was like a universal sick symbol.
I just thought green M&Ms made you hit home runs in baseball and home runs in the bedroom. All right, let's move on. Denny's, great job. I was only busting your balls. I thought you did a great job with your factoids.
No, Linga.
Do you have any more? Do you want to end kind of on a lower note?
Yeah. If you want.
Give us one more. Give us a good one.
So this is at least a fun one. If you've had a coconut recently, there's about an 80% chance it came from Thailand. And there's about 100% chance in that case that it was picked by a monkey. In fact, it's a 400-year-old practice. All the coconuts that you get, 80% of them at least, here in America, are picked by monkeys that are on leashes and they've been doing this for 400 years. In fact, they used to use humans to pick them, but they can only get about 80 a day. They found that the average monkey could get about 1,600 a day. So they decided it was just better to train a bunch.
Animal slavery.
Yeah, they actually, need to unionize.
They got in a lot of trouble constantly, actually, to present day by companies wanting to sue them for using animal labor. But then they ended up winning because they were like, how's that any different from using an oxen or a cow to pull machinery or to pull a plow? It's the same.
That's cool, Dennis. Yeah, end on animal slavery. Cool.
Hey, it's out there, whether you ignore it or acknowledge it. So that's true. It's on you, dog.
That's true.
Vicky, what does he get?
That one is so up and down. I got to give him a C for coconut because there's some really bad parts of that. But it is interesting. So I just got to be safe with a C.
Wow, man. Pandemic's Vicky hard.
Yeah, I'm just skirting by this semester.
And I hope every person that says I grade him too easy, they better be watching today's show. Because
we'll get, don't worry, we'll get comments about how you graded him too hard now.
Keep them honest.
It'll be both. Don't worry. Let's go ahead. So I want to do a little segment here just to talk about, we all got little dramas going on in our life, correct?
Everybody has.
Everyone's got drama. And I want to read this email only because I think it kind of goes in with Beckett's drama. Did you want to talk about what we were talking about before, Beckett, before the podcast started, or is that?
Sure. It comes in waves because I have my dog who's at her likely end of life, and she got diagnosed with dermal lymphoma. So I made the decision to treat her for it, which is not cheap. But like relationships or business or sports, I always like to leave it all on the field. And then at least you have some peace of mind with that, especially when you have a dog that's in your house she's been in my life for 14 years. So I was a young pup when I got her. So big part of my life. So we've had to basically stop treating her. And now I have to make that hard quality of life decision with my vet. So that's the kind of week that I've been having.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. I understand and get it. I mean, pets, especially dogs or cats, you know, you have them that long. It's a family member. It's a friend. And I don't have the right words, but we're here for you. I'm going to have to go through it. I mean, it's something that for sure. I understand. And it's adorable. Well, thanks for sharing that story, even though it's sad. You're gonna have a lot of people that's going to have your back on that, and you're gonna have a lot of support. Yeah, we love you. And we love your dog.
I appreciate it. I was just kind of curious to the audience and you guys. Have you heard of the company Lap of Love? Because I think they come to your house. So I was just curious what people's experience was at the vet or at the house, and what they thought was better for the dog.
For what?
So what Lap of Love does is the company, and it's kind of like hospice where instead of having to go to the vet, where a lot of animals don't obviously love going to the vet, they do everything at your house. Mm-hmm. So I think that
I was looking into that when I thought Chewy was on his last leg, which he wasn't. He just had that old dog's disease, but I didn't know, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was calling around just to see what the prices were and what all that stuff was like. And just to see what it was about, you know. I wasn't sure if they came there to only do that or if they came there just to comfort the dog. So
yeah.
People in chat are saying it's good.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. Very, very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that, Beckett.
Yeah. No worries.
Vicky, what's going on in your life? Any drama going on that we can help you with? We're creating a community here.
Well, I mean, it's not as tragic. You know, Beckett, about a year ago, I lost my dog of 14 years, and it's horrible to have to go through. But the one thing that has been on my mind, and I don't want people to take it the wrong way, I enjoy the fact that people depend on me. I enjoy the fact that they rely on me for advice or when they're having a problem, they can call me and that. But sometimes it's like, I don't exist as a person. It's like, I'm so strong that I can't have a problem. Like, I can't call somebody up and say, I'm really kind of feeling depressed today. You know, because Vicky's not allowed to be depressed. Vicky's not allowed to have a bad back. She's not allowed to feel bad because she's paying the mortgage. She's not allowed to do any of that because they've kind of, I almost feel like I cease to have real feelings in other people's eyes because I keep doing everything that people need me to do. So, and I know maybe it sounds a little petty or whatever, but sometimes I feel like I'm not a person, you know? Well, I'm just kind of like a robot.
First of all, I don't want to speak for the entire group here, but you could always call me anytime you want to. You can always FaceTime me. I'm not to say that I'm going to have the answers for you, but just know you can do that. I'm sure you can with these other guys too. Sure. And here's the thing. When you have a talent or a gift, it's going to get that way. That's the burden of having a really, really good gift and a great gift. And my only advice would be, it sounds like you're slightly burned out. I would put it on the back burner for a little bit and just reconnect a little bit.
It's actually more from my personal friends than it is from, because like the readings, I get a blessing from every reading I do because I take myself out of the equation. It's my personal friends that act like I don't have regular emotions. Like I don't feel things that other people feel.
Okay, so just I want to get this clear because I was a little confused. So this isn't really stuff when it comes to you giving readings to weirdos. No. It's more of people in your personal
friends.
Life.
Yeah, friends and family. And that's why, I mean, like the other, that's, I love doing that. That actually, like I said, I get out of my own self for a while and I can help somebody and it makes me feel good. It's people in my life that think that I should be fine all the time. That I shouldn't worry about money, that I shouldn't worry about this, and I shouldn't worry about that. Well, I'm human. I worry about those things.
Let me ask you this, okay? Have you sat down and talked to these people about your feelings and what you're feeling? And B, is it possible they could be partially correct about your worrying?
I think everybody has, because I am actually always trying to look more on the brighter side. So if I'm actually to the point where I'm stressed or worried, trust me, I've tried every other thing to be other than that. As far as some people, it's like talking to a wall. I mean, I've tried to have these conversations and again, they don't listen because I'm the one who makes everything happen. I'm the one that saves the situation. I'm the one that always figures out how to make it work. And so they don't want to hear, you know, they don't want to hear that I can't do it all the time.
Are you able just to say, I can't do it and be at peace with it?
That's really hard for me and my personality. Really hard for me to say, I can't right now. I mean, I had to do a really tough thing and I cut off someone for about 3 to 4 weeks. And because I just couldn't take their energy. I just couldn't take
it. It was Denny's, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's such a downer. I can't.
Well, I'm interested to hearing an enlightened cat like Denny's who really, in my opinion, I feel like he weathers these kind of situations well. What's your advice to a Vicky in a situation like this?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nuances that we can find.
And do me a favor, don't take her harsh grading into account with the situation. Don't take that personal.
I think you deserve it, Vicky. No, I'm just kidding. it's hard without a lot of the details to really, you know, because I mean, there's a lot of nuanced stuff in there. I guess.
Go answer, Denny's.
Yeah. So I guess really the roundabout, I mean, if I'm getting it vague, I'm going to give it vague. But
give it vague.
It's just at the end of the day, it's all about your own personal psychological well-being, right? And what you care about most. If you care about your family the most, and I don't know who's causing you the drama, but if it's your family causing you drama, then I think it's worth looking into. If it's people in your life that you're not necessarily in love with, then I don't know if it's necessarily worth the suffering. So I guess you just have to kind of make that judgment call. And I guess it ultimately depends on who is requiring. So it is healthy and good to probably, I imagine, have some people rely on you. And it's probably good to have that strength about yourself, but at the same time, I don't know if you have to spend it on everybody, you know? You got to probably divvy that up correctly.
for a man who doesn't know what he's talking about, sure knows what he's talking about. That was great advice, Denny's.
Heard.
Birdie, anything to add on? We can move along, but anything to add on, Beckett?
To Vicky?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm not sure if you know what anagrams are, Vicky, but I'm assuming you're a two, which is like the helper, where that's like a psychological test. But I'm the same way, where like I love helping people, but then it starts to affect me. Like, your strength sometimes is connected to your greatest weakness, and my greatest weakness can be sometimes I'm so focused on so many other people that I neglect myself, and then you can't help anyone if you're not helping yourself. So I mean, I would talk to those people if they're if they're really personal to like your best friends or family members, then they should be able to have an honest conversation with you. And I don't think there's anything wrong in saying, hey, I really need you to listen to me right now because I'm suffering. And if they're there for you, then if they're good friends or family, whatever, then they'll be there for you. If not, then it's time to evaluate who are these people.
Yeah. I would, the only thing I would add is, I think it's great advice, from everyone. But what I tell people, whether it's a client, a friend, a girlfriend, or a family member or whatever, if you communicate something to me and I still do it, then you have a reason to be mad at me, and vice versa. And I feel like a lot of times people get angry without the communication effort being there yet. And, you know, so I say, hey, I didn't know that upset you, or I realize now I could handle it a different way. If it happens again, then be mad at me. But don't get mad at me before you've communicated that to me. Like, I recently had a situation where one of my best buddies was annoyed at me. It was giving me like the silent treatment. And I was like, dude, I don't need my buddies to be like a girlfriend. And I was like, I had to call him out on it. I'm like, are you mad at me? I didn't even know he was mad at me, but I could feel the shade. And he's like, oh, well, I felt like you didn't invite me to this thing. And I'm like, dude, that's easily explained. Here's what happened. You should have just told me you were annoyed.
Can I ask you a question? Did you know he was annoyed with you? You texted him something and he texted you back with K?
Oh yeah, or the like button on the bubble.
Yeah. Anytime I know I'm in trouble with someone I'm dating, or I'll get a K or just a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I'm like, oh shit, I'm in the doghouse.
Right. Or the infamous that's fine. Anytime you get a that's fine, it's not fine.
I love the K. The K it just means like, bitch, step off. I'm done with you. Like, that's what the K means.
It's definitely gonna be the most passive aggressive letter in the alphabet.
Oh my gosh. You're screwed. If you get the K, you're done.
That's right. I agree.
I hope that helps, Vicky. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Talking about it sometimes helps.
And if not, I will have one of you call the people that aren't listening to me and you can deal with them.
Yeah, but next time, Vicky, pick up the horn or text somebody with family.
All right.
My screen just went out. Give me 1 second. Denny's a stretch. Topic is cheese. Go.
Gouda. You like it? You like the softer cheeses or harder cheeses? I'm a hard cheese back. Guy.
I'm a hard cheese guy for sure.
Me too. I hate soft cheese.
Great job, Denny's. We're good. Thank you. Dear Weird and Whatever, I'm a big time gamer. Ever since I started playing with my brother's old Nintendo system, weird stuff has been going on in my apartment. I've been playing the old school Nintendo version of Friday the 13th. Can video games bring out ghosts? Can ghosts live in a video game, kind of like Jumanji? All this crazy stuff started happening after I started playing this game. What the hell? Things flying off the walls. I hear gurgling coming from my closet late at night. I'm scared. What do you all think? Love the podcast. Bryce. Vicky?
Well, I would recommend that he go ahead and watch the movie Stay Alive, which if I had known I could have picked a first-run horror movie for my choice, I would have picked Stay Alive. But anyway, if you haven't seen it, it is a horror movie about video game basically coming to life. I would question, like, what would be connected to the machine itself. More than likely, it's what's been going on all over the place. Things are just coming out of the woodwork with this quarantine. Spirits are restless. People are noticing them. All kinds of heck is breaking loose. And I keep, there's case after case after case that I'm getting. And I think it's just sign of the times, honestly.
Vicky, do you think that there's more of them existing in terms of spirits and things like that? Or do you think because people are home, they're a little bit more in tune to that? So it's the same amount, but they're more observant of it, or both?
I think it's a combination, not that there's more of them, but there's more that are choosing to interact and to show themselves. Mm-hmm. And we are also home to experience it more.
Yeah, because they're probably noticing a shift in energy too. If they're on Earth and they see, we had a global pandemic, so there was a shift in energy just even in the environment. So if you believe in the ghost world, one could believe that, yeah, there's going to be some kind of shift here.
But my recommendation for him to see, to remove the game system, send it to somebody else's house for a while, see what happens, and then bring it back. Just it's more of a little bit of a controlled experiment. And then he'll be able to see if it might be connected to the game system.
But theoretically, though, let's take his example off the table here. We're talking a video game. Is it possible that a spirit could get inside a video game and come out when you play it? Or am I watching too many movies?
I would say it's more that you have a spirit that is nearby that probably was a gamer, that maybe that was their first video system. They passed away. Someone pulls it out. They're attracted to that because that's what they used to enjoy when they were alive. And it's just that they're attracted to the machine itself, not that they're coming to life from the game.
Because if you can possess a doll, you can possess a video game in theory, right?
Well, but they would be connected to the game or the system, but it would be a human spirit that was attracted to that and now interacting in the environment.
Birdie, you're a big gamer.
Yes.
Did you ever play Friday the 13th Nintendo style?
I never owned it, but I do know it. Yes, I had a friend who had it.
That's old people video games, by the way.
I'm old enough to know that Nintendo Super Nintendo days. I didn't have an Atari, but I did have, you know, Nintendo Super Nintendo.
Am I the only old person on the panel right now that thought Atari sucked?
I mean, in comparison to today, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. I didn't like it back in the day. Did you think it was good, Dennis? You're a big gamer too.
I did. Well, so Atari, I don't know, it's more classic, arcadey. I think they transported a lot of the games from the arcades to it. Nintendo, I'd say, is the first one that started getting good, and then Super Nintendo is probably the one that really skyrocketed into kids' lives. Because originally, like I said, we were talking about it earlier, weirdly. My parents bought Nintendo as like a party thing. So when people came over for parties, they played Duck Hunt, and that's what they did. It was back in like 82 or 83. So. So after about 5 years, it kind of lost its luster. I don't think they ever bought any other games. And then they just gave it to us, and then we played with it. But it was weird. It wasn't like anything we sought out. I don't even think they were advertised for kids really at that time. It wasn't until Super Nintendo that they started really pushing it for those 90s kids.
I'm sorry, but Duck Hunt was weak!
Yeah, the dog. The dog's kind of a dick. He like comes up, yeah, and snickers at you.
Sure, I forgot about that.
Did I love me some Nintendo, though? My gosh.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Here's one that, all right, we all get an opinion on it. It's a weird / whatever question. Dear weird and whatever, I think my girlfriend is going to leave me because my penis is too small. I feel like she doesn't think it's big enough. Is this something I should bring up to her? I'm being paranoid on my own. I feel like it's me and my penis, but don't know for sure. I watch porn sometimes and I notice how big everyone is. I think it's making me feel insecure. What do you guys think? Should I talk to her about it? We've been together for 5 months. Love the podcast, Alan. And no, that's not my real name. Small penis email. Let's attack it.
Attack that small
piece. I mean, I think at the end of the day, speaking from a woman perspective, if she's orgasming, that's all that really matters, right? Because you could have a normal or bigger size penis, and if you're not hitting the right spots and pleasing her, then that's more of an issue than the girth of what you have. And a lot of times women don't even like penetration per se. Maybe they like other types of things, and you know, you don't necessarily need your penis to do that. I think most women actually don't they don't prefer penetration, so that's almost to his advantage sometimes, because then he can use other things.
Keep going, you have the floor.
No, I'm just saying, like, right, like at the end of the day, is she enjoying herself when you're having sex? I think that's more of an issue than if it's small or big.
Yeah, I think you're right, not to speak for the small penis community, but I'm just saying, what you said, Birdie, I think passion and heart makes up a lot of it too. Communication. I mean, are we talking, I mean, are we the size of this Yoda figure? What is small? I mean,
a micro penis.
Yeah, a micro penis is a whole nother problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could do anything with that. You would have to use your hands or something.
Yeah.
Tongue game's got to be on point.
Yeah, okay.
Anyone else want to chime in on this email? Or
he should definitely bring it up lightly, like as like in my opinion, like this is going back to communicating about something. I mean, what's promising is she's been with him for 5 months. And I have some friends that are girls that, you know, after the first encounter, if it wasn't something they could work with, they're probably and typically gone, at least the honest ones. So I think if he has an insecurity and this is going into more of a serious relationship, I think anything over 6 months, for the most part, you could start to consider getting more serious. That's the point when you can be able to communicate a lot better. Maybe make a joke about it in passing, keep it light so she feels comfortable to be candid and open, and she can explain what Birdney just explained. She can say, hey, well, I actually like this better or whatever. And then the whole point, what she was saying, the goal is to satisfy and fulfill his partner. So that's why I think the communication is even more important about it.
Just make a little small dick joke about yourself.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like yeah. He could be clever about it. He's like you'd be like, hey, I know I'm not John Holmes over here. Just want to make sure the motion of the ocean's working for you. Blah blah blah, and laugh it off and see what she says.
That was just off the dome piece.
It's interesting to see Beckett work his magic. I like to see how you would handle these situations. Vicky, you clearly have something to say. I'm interested to hear your opinion.
Well, probably not, because I'm going to be a dick, pun intended. I want to say exactly the total polar opposite of what Brittany said. It does matter, but I think you need to have that conversation for sure. He needs to find out exactly on a scale of 1 to 10 how much it matters to her.
Okay, so I think what we've learned today here, kids, is that certain things are going to matter to certain people, and other things are going to matter to others. It's all going to be different. It's all going to be, you know, how it matches with you. And to Beckett's point, I think especially if you are sleeping with somebody and it's looking like it's moving on in the relationship, there's got to be a point where you do have to drop your insecurity act and become honest. Because aren't we all, if we're dating or we're gonna be with somebody, aren't we looking to see if they're the ride or die we're looking for? And if they're not able to handle an insecure thing that's on your mind, I don't know if you guys are meant to be with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually the whole act of you guys being perfect is going to subside, and you're gonna have to get real eventually. And talk about shit that may not be flattering about each other's personalities.
That's more important than the actual size of the penis. Like, can you communicate? Because at the end of the day, I feel like I'd rather have someone I could communicate my insecurities to than the size of.
Totally. In my humble experience, the best sex is the one that is comfortable, trusting, open, all of those things. And, you know, because how many times have people had relationships and you find out a certain amount of time into something that you both were into something, but you guys didn't know it or were insecure to talk about it or whatever. You're like, oh man, we could have been doing this for 6 months, you know?
Like what, Becky? What were you into that you didn't want to talk about?
I don't know. I'm going to get made fun of for this answer, but it's true. I get into whatever is very pleasurable for the other person, right? So that
I get it.
that's a, like, so in a different relationship, I might be more into something because of how much more that particular girl likes that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I've been with people where whatever turns them on is not necessarily what I find to be turned on, but the fact that they're turned on by it and then I'm doing it for them actually turns me on. So I totally understand that and I get it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Denny's, you're awfully quiet, you little sex pot.
So what do you want me to weigh on? The guy with the small dick? Like what?
I don't want to know your sex life. Please don't share that.
Denny's, I want you to weigh in all of it. I love it.
Go to smalldick.com, man, if you're worried about it. Find some girls there, right? I mean, find somebody that's into that. Then there's no insecurity.
What's that website?
I imagine.
It's actually Virginia signed me up for it. Without.
Oh, that's right.
I had to miss a day for work. So her joking ass goes to this weird website, by the way. It signs me up for it. I think it's called
dinky1.com.
Dinky1. And I'm getting all these messages. She put my picture up, everything. So I'm getting all these emails and all these girls are asking me, how big's your dick? All this. I'm like, what is going on here? And it's this website and I am way too big for this site. They like them small on this site, Beckett. If it is above 2.5 inches, they don't, I mean, they're like,
it's
next.
It's a Dinky1 dating website.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well,
yeah.
There you go for the emailer. There's people out there. See, there's someone for everyone.
We kept the website because it gives us very funny content. You would not believe the shit people write. It's hilarious. It's pretty awesome. In fact, I'm going to send Kevin some stuff that for the podcast tomorrow. It's pretty funny.
Nice.
A couple more emails. How are we doing on time?
We're about 55 minutes in.
All right. I love it. Okay. Let's play a quick game here. Which headline is fake? There's a series of 5 headlines. Okay. 4 of them are real. 1 of them is made up. Can you tell me the difference? All right. I'll give you the 5. Here's the headline. Monkeys steal coronavirus patient blood samples from lab tech in India. Is that real?
That's real.
Okay.
That's because I'm up to date on my news.
I think that one's real as well.
Birdie, don't ruin the game.
I think we talked about that on the show.
I'm not going to say. Yeah, I think you brought that up as a random fact one day.
You did Denny's?
No, you guys talked about it on the KVJ show. It was one of the whacked out news.
Shit, I wasn't listening again. much like Denny's, how he raises his shrimp, is this. A British man finds caterpillars in supermarket broccoli and then raises them on his own.
Why not?
I hope it's real. That's nice. Yeah. That's a nice story.
Women legally marries her dog and the state... Sorry. Women legally marries her dog in the state of West Virginia... They can't do anything about it because marrying your dog is illegal in West Virginia. The dog's name is Pickles.
Hey, Beckett, is that true or not?
Sounds like it could be accurate.
All right. Florida woman.
I'm from West Virginia, and I'm obsessed with pickles. So.
Is bestiality illegal, though, in that state?
We're going to delve into all of this. Let me just read these last two.
As long as you're not related.
Florida, I don't even think it matters.
Florida woman sues for paternity test on goats. Is that a real headline? Last one. An online group is trying to shut down Pornhub because it's starting to leak out that underage material has been going out on the porn site. Okay, what is the actual fake headline out of all of those 5?
There's only one fake one?
There's only one fake one. 4 of those are real. So the monkeys that start... The Pornhub one's the fake one, you say. All right, Beckett?
Yes.
Because otherwise, that would have been everywhere.
All right. Beckett?
I think I'm going to go with the goat, that second to last one.
You think that's the fake one?
Yeah, yeah.
A Florida woman sues for paternity test on goats. All right, Vicky, what do you think?
I'm going to represent Beckett's home state. I'm going to say West Virginia's fake.
So one of you is right. The fake headline is woman legally marries her dog.
Oh, wow.
That did not happen. Everything else is a real story going on in the news. Yeah. There is online. There's an online group. They've released a video, Denny's trying to shut down Pornhub because there's been some supposed underage videos leaking out.
I can see it. How would you ever regulate that? I'm sure it happens all the time.
That's the question. Pornhub says they regulate it, but now people are asking questions. How?
There's been several times I've been like, this doesn't look legal.
How many times?
Yeah, how many times?
I'm not letting you guys know that.
Pornhub is that the most popular?
Probably, right? That's the one that's always in the news stories for the holidays. You know how they always do something?
Dennis, I'm talking to Vicky. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to say my own
stuff in my head. I don't have to
I figured Beckett would know.
Yeah. Has it ever happened to you guys where you forget to close it out on your browser and you go to show someone something on your phone and the Pornhub's pulled up? Yeah, that's embarrassing.
I'm not that much of a beast that I pull it up on my phone, Beckett. I have a setting, okay?
You watch it on your computer? I think that's a whole nother level of seriousness if it's on your computer rather than your phone, because phones
I'm
on the go.
I'm serious about it, Beckett.
Yeah. People like to take their time, Beckett.
I'm not an animal that pulls it up in the bathroom or anything like that.
Are you wearing the headset during?
No, I want surround sound. Got candles and everything.
That's amazing.
But you're right though. Surround sound porn, that is serious business.
That's
right
next
there.
Level. I think if you queue it up on your desktop computer, you're a pro. If you have it willy-nilly on your phone in the bathroom or something like that, that's just
animal.
That's pretty informal.
Yeah, and just to go back to the headlines, Florida woman is suing for about the paternity test on the goats. There's five goats involved in that story, Denny's. It's messy. And then, the British dude found caterpillars in the broccoli, and now he's just raising the sons of bitches. It's kind of gross.
That's cool. Hey, raise him.
Gross.
Connect with him.
Yeah, get him to the pupa, right? Pupa stays in bail.
Only gross on the fact that there's caterpillars in the broccoli.
I'm sure we would be shocked at how many bugs we eat all the time. I bet we eat weirder things than bugs. You know,
I think we would be shocked. I think we all have accepted that we just eat larvae and guts, right?
Yeah, there's bug stuff in everything. Peanut butter. And peanut butter, I read, there's bugs.
Yeah, that's why. And there's places they intentionally eat bugs. So.
Yeah, well, just think about it. If we were raised here in the States that cockroaches were delicious and awesome to eat, half of the chat room right now would be eating them.
Cricket flour?
That's what I was just going to say. I was in New York City at this fancy hotel, and in the mini bar thing, they had chips, and it looked like kind of like those healthy hummus kind of, you know, bean chips or whatever. And it was like had healthy whatever. And I read it, and it was cricket protein.
Ugh.
I think that's going to be the next big thing, dude.
Well, they're saying how much it saves water and it's so much better for the environment. And they had a whole case behind it.
I guess I'm going to be a terrible human. I'm not drinking the paper straw out of the paper straw, and I'm not eating cricket pizza.
Cricket flour, dog. Going anywhere.
I'm not doing it. On that controversial note, it's time to end this podcast, boys and girls. We've been going for an hour. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Weird Whatever. I know that we are inconsistent with the times. Unfortunately, that's the way this ride's going to have to go with the KVJ show. If there's stuff that we got to do, we unfortunately have to take care of that first. But we really do appreciate you guys going along this weird ride with us. Does anybody have anything they want to plug or final thoughts, Vicky?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when I was having the drama that has nothing to do with the people that I talk to and help. So if you are having any kind of paranormal activity in your home, you can go ahead and send me an email to contact@pointparanormal.com. Also, if you'd like to schedule a reading, I have a coupon. If you go on Facebook and mention the coupon, then you can get the coupon price. And again, that is the email at contact@pointparanormal.com.
Awesome. Don't forget to – oh, go ahead, Becky.
To put a bow on it, did we decide yes on the Tusk movie for the group?
Yes, let's do
it. People had positive, the chat was positive about it. So
I was wrong to prolong that. I got it confused. We're doing Tusk back at House Like the Buster Balls. We're just having some fun there. But yeah, we'll definitely do Tusk. Denny's, you pick Friday or Saturday. Which one do you want to do?
Saturday, better.
We'll do Saturday, 8 p.m.?
Yeah, we've been doing it around like 7:30 to 8, so that's perfect.
All right, I love it. Okay, weirdos, please, if you guys don't mind, please comment, please share this. That helps us so much. People always email and go, how can I help the Weird One Ever podcast? I love everybody on it. I love what you guys do. How can I help? If you share this video on Facebook, it would just make us just tickled pink. Okay, guys, we love you all, and
Bigfoot is real. Yeah.